from the heart of downtown North Platte, it's time for Mugs in the Morning on KODY 1240 AM 106.1 FM. Listen to the show online at HuskerRadio.com or on the free KODY mobile app. Now it's time for the show. Here's your host of Mugs in the Morning, Tristan Wyman.
And good morning and welcome into the studios for Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Time now to get a quick check of your time and temp. It's a service of Grease Monkey. Grease Monkey, conveniently located on the 1 in North Platte. At 8:06, it's 43 degrees, on our way to a high today near 62 with a lot of sunshine. Beautiful temperatures today, folks. Almost as good as yesterday, a little bit cooler, though. So if you thought yesterday was warm, today going to be a bit more on par for you. We welcome in Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department for our monthly chat with the Chief. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. It's interesting times, like you and I were talking off the air, my friend, but interesting times and productive times nonetheless, I suppose.
What are you talking about? What's going on? It's last week was a long year, and Monday was a long year, and now it's been a long month, but it's so far I think things are going okay.
I'm sure you saw the Facebook post, but somebody posted a picture on Facebook. I think it was last week or something that said, "Can you believe that we're already 6 months into 2020, yet it's only the end of March or something like that."
Well, and I
thought,
seems like,
man, it's, that's accurate.
It's been a long one, but you know what? I think last week was really, really crazy busy for us. More so probably on the administrative side, trying to get some things in place, and a lot of stuff changing. And when the governor came out with his mandate, that put a lot of different things in play. But this week, so far, knock on something. We'll get through it. I mean, the city's strong. The employees are strong. Our population is strong. It's kind of just deciding what really is the new norm. And and once we kind of decide, it seems like I had it from a good source yesterday. There was all the personal hygiene items and toiletries were stocked at Walmart. So
that's good.
I mean, it's so hopefully things will be all right. We'll get through this. We always do.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
And as a department head with the city of North Platte, obviously you're aware of Mr. Hawks, Mayor Livingston, at one of the first press conferences we had that you attended, mentioned that different protocols were put in place for different departments throughout the city. And I know that you and your staff have been following that extremely well. Obviously somebody that you know very well helped form those guidelines with Chief Thompson, and what a great job he's done and his department. But so it's changed everybody's life, including law enforcement. I'm sure you guys, I know that you're following the recommendations that the city of North Platte's put in for all departments, but do you guys do some increased sanitation of vehicles and different areas there now too?
Oh yeah, we've put out document after our, I think our guys are tired of reading new documents every day when they come in. Last week, was it the beginning of last week or the end of the week before, we had put out some documentation about kind of just cleanliness, you know, and it wasn't a request. They were mandated, trying to keep people out of the station, our officers out of the station. We can do the majority of our work, they can do from their cars. I don't know if it was here we were talking or if it was in a press conference we were talking, that most of, all the computer systems are accessible by their vehicles, so they can stay in the cars, they can write their reports, they can do a lot of stuff. Our goal for the most part is trying to ensure that we don't have a lot of face-to-face contact. You know, we remind our community that our officers will be asking people to come outside. They'll be talking to them outside, not necessarily inside with a family of four or a family of six. Everybody there trying to keep a little bit of that distance when we can. There are situations where we can't. We all understand that we have an inherently dangerous job, and we'll have to deal with those as we have to, but you know, we ask for patience. We're, 911. If you call 911 and you need the police or you need the fire, let us know. Has someone traveled? Does someone have a fever? Does someone have a cough? Has someone been sick?
Does somebody have those symptoms?
Those things. And we don't want to have to wear PPE to every call, show up like we're in our spacesuits and white this and that and masks and shields. We can. We don't want to. Mm-hmm. But we've had some calls where, it's worrisome. But our people are doing great. Our employees, I got to tell you, our employees come to work every day, whether they're on the sworn side or the civilian side. They do a remarkable job. And the fears that are going on in our community and our public and our nation and the whole, those aren't alleviated just because you're a police officer or a firefighter or a sheriff or you work at the police station.
The badge doesn't take away the fear.
No, it sure doesn't. And then, we have our professional staff, our civilian staff, that they're in every day, and we know and we understand that we have different employees that have different immune system issues or how their children are and what their home situation is. So we spend a lot of time worrying about those employees and trying to figure out how do we ensure or how can we make it an environment that's safe for all of our employees to come into work. I don't think it's any different than any other manager or department head in the city or even in the private sector does. We worry about those things. We spend a lot of time, and Chief Reeves, we spend a lot of time talking about how do we do this, how do we protect these people, and what if, you know, and that's the one. So, you know, like I said, we put out some documentation to our folks a couple weeks ago about, you know, cleaning in, cleaning out, cleaning behind, cleaning everything. Then last week we put out just, I think it was Friday, a kind of a continuity of operations. How are we going to do this? And what happens if, you know, our problems are our overlaps? And then one officer or a dispatcher or a civilian gets a positive result. And then all of a sudden, everyone you've talked to for the last week, 14 days.
Yeah, you start backtracking and tracing your steps.
All of a sudden, there's no one to put in police cars and no one to answer 911 calls and no one to do all these things. So we've, some would maybe say it's extreme what we've had to, some things that we've put in, but it really is about continuity of operations in the future. And, you know, we talked a little bit at the press conference last week about, you know, one of our big concerns is our dispatch center. Mm-hmm. They dispatch for us, fire, sheriffs, Gothenburg PD, Gothenburg Fire, seven rural fire districts, and just everything else. Our contingency plans had always been a tornado, a flood, something that comes through and knocks down antennas, knocks down our building, knocks down this. And the plan was always you just throw eight dispatchers in a van, you send them to Buffalo County, and you put them up in a hotel, and they work out of their dispatch center. Well, our issue now, our concern isn't about having equipment, or it's about not having people.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter
of people in there.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of sending six dispatchers to a local community, and Buffalo County is our fallback because of the technology aspect of things, and the volume that we take. But all of a sudden, to ask Buffalo County, if this were to happen, do you have the ability or personnel-wise to do this? And thus, we've agreed if something were to happen in Buffalo County as far as their dispatch center, that we would take on the burden of dispatching for them. But those are real concerns. And let's say we lost a shift or two shifts of our officers. We still have to provide police services. We still have to be out there. Yeah, it doesn't get much more essential, and there's a lot of people that are essential, and there's a lot of people that I think our society has found in the last 2 months that are essential that 2 months ago would never, ever have dreamt those people were essential.
A lot of thankless workers.
Yeah, and they're going to work every single day, and they're doing their job, and they're keeping the system running. So it's been an interesting, we'll get through it, and we'll continue, you know, we'll just, every day changes, and we've asked our folks to be flexible, because things come up and they change.
Now, Chief Hudson, you mentioned the dispatch center we have here for the city of North Platte. Obviously, it does dispatching for the city of North Platte, for Lincoln County Sheriff's Department, and several other agencies in the area.
Yes, we do PD, FD, sheriffs, Gothenburg PD, Gothenburg Fire, and then I think we dispatch for seven rural fire departments or rural fire districts, and we dispatch the helicopter off the roof over at the hospital for fire and trauma issues. So there's a lot of stuff that we do, and then we coordinate a lot with other agencies. So they stay busy, and then at a certain time of the day, all of our non-emergency phones roll over to our dispatch centers. So if you call the station during the day, you'll get the front office or you'll get, you know, but then at a certain point at night, all those calls get forwarded to the 911 dispatch center, which effective today will not happen anymore.
Sure.
We'll man those calls in the front office.
Okay.
Much later in the evening, the office won't be open for business hours or for the desk won't be open in the evening or late in the night, but the phones will be answered. There's now an answering machine there. If the phone rings to the answering machine, it means either the our staff is on another line or the office is closed, but please leave a message and we'll get back to you on that, because with us paring down our dispatch center to try to spread things out, we just are trying to alleviate or relieve some of the pressure and some of the volume that's on those folks.
It makes sense. We're going to talk a little bit more about COVID-19 with Chief Hudson and talk about COVID-19 here in North Platte in a few moments on our Chat with the Chief on Mugs in the Morning.
When legal representation is required, Lindemeyer Law Office is your first call. This is Bob from Lindemeyer Law Office. My staff and I have more than 95 years of combined experience in law and will work for you. With specialized knowledge and skills, we have the experience in criminal defense, immigration law, probate and estate law, along with family, custody, and juvenile law, and personal injury. Our team of Amanda Spikert, Kent Form, Shantae Durham, and myself have made differences in people's lives. Contact us for free initial consultation at Lindemeyer Law Office, 534-6740, or at Flat Rock. Rocklaw.com.
Hometown banking with hometown people. Equitable Bank.
Save time by using online bill pay features. Rather than writing out checks, looking stamps, and filing papers, set up an online account that will eliminate all of those steps. Management of your debt will become so much easier and faster. Plus, you can review past bills. See the staff at Equitable Bank in North Platte. Member FDIC.
Equitable.
Every year is full of special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, promotions, sticking to your diet. At Tom and Jewelers, we have something for all special occasions. I'm Karen, and we pride ourselves in giving you one-on-one attention to help you find that perfect gift for your loved one, friend, even your boss. Plus, Tom's does jewelry repair on site, and I'm on hand to create that custom piece. Tom and Jewelers for all occasions, 503 North Dewey, downtown on the Berks.
If you're thinking about retirement and have questions, then tune in to Make Retirement Work each Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Hi, I'm Mark Workmeister, the Certified Financial Planner with PFA. I'll walk you through all of those unanswered retirement questions, like when to take your Social Security, how to take money out of your retirement accounts, what's happening with the markets, and more. Make Retirement Work, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 on KODY 1240 AM 106.1 FM.
Amid the outbreak of COVID-19 throughout the area, you can still count on the Prairie Shopping Network Show to present you with great savings to local businesses every Wednesday from 10 to 11 on KODY. Items to area businesses with discounted rates like Dave's Place, Computer Troubleshooters, Good Life on the Bricks, and Another Round Sports Bar and Grill. These local businesses need our help more than ever before, and the Prairie Shopping Network Show is here to assist. Tune in each Wednesday from 10 to 11 on KODY.
At Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska, the mental health and safety of our community is our first priority. Now more than ever, we are here for you. From our virtual telehealth therapy rooms, licensed therapists can help you securely and privately, wherever you are. For more information, please visit lfsneb.org or call 833-903-2376. Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurance is accepted. No one will be denied vital services during this challenging time. Please stay safe.
Due to COVID-19, USAFE Pharmacy will be drive-through, delivery, and curbside only. Call ahead or use the USAFE app. Once again, keeping you safe is USAFE Pharmacy, who will have drive-through, delivery, and curbside only due to COVID-19. Located east of Great Plains Health and in the Health Pavilion.
And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning on KODY. Quick check of your time and temp here on Mugs in the Morning. At 8:20, your time and temp, a service of Grease Monkey, still hanging out at 43 degrees. On our way to a high today near 62. It's been beautiful temperatures this week.
Last night, and it was beautiful, especially once that breeze calmed down. What was it, 78 yesterday? 79
yeah,
almost?
About 78, 79 yesterday was our high.
Now, beautiful. Snow on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, you chose to come back.
I love it.
I'm sure that you missed a little bit of the snow in your days in California, didn't you?
Sure, we'll go with that. Why wouldn't we? No, yeah, my wife loves the season. She's absolutely, she loves the four seasons, and she loves the snow, and now she's been out working hard in the garden and or the yard and stuff, so yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see how everything, you kind of forget how everything comes back alive. Mm-hmm. You know, everything goes dormant for the winter, and everything's brown and this and that, and already you see some of the folks have already got their sprinklers on, and some people have mowed two or
the lawns
times.
Already.
I'm waiting just a little longer before I break that
too.
One. So,
yep.
But yeah, it's nice to see everything come back, and it's the fluctuations right now with the beautiful days, and then it's like, what the heck happened here?
But what did we sign up for?
I did look at, we were warmer, is it yesterday or the day before? We were warmer. I was out in California. They were 52 in rain, and we were 78 in sun, so yeah, we let them know.
Yeah, absolutely. Rub that in a little bit when you can.
Yes.
Doesn't happen every day, so you got to take advantage of it when you can.
Absolutely.
Now, Chief, we were talking about COVID-19 here locally a few moments ago. Obviously, the governor's put in some different guidelines and recommendations now. That limit to 10 is not as much of a light recommendation as what it originally was. But I've stressed this a couple times on the air, and I'm sure you've heard. I want to make it clear, and we can make it clear now with our chat with the chief. You and your officers aren't kicking in doors, counting heads, going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, everybody's going to jail. You mentioned at the press conference last week, if you see 12 people somewhere and they're not maintaining social distancing, politely remind them, well, hey, we've got the guidelines and restrictions in place, and it's just going to be a lot of polite mindfulness to citizens.
Absolutely. And our goal is never to, you know, there's always that rule in our profession, the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And we would much rather prefer to enforce the spirit of the law. Say, hey, come on, education, talk to people. The places that we were getting the most complaints about it and things were some liquor establishments that were still open, and then but they all closed last Wednesday at 10 o'clock. I saw several photos.
I bet they shut down at 9:59, and they're not going to open anytime soon.
Yeah, we we found out that the health director was coming down about 8 o'clock. I think 7:30 or 8 o'clock. We had a press conference at 9 o'clock to put it out, just because it was either that or wait. And it went in effect at 2200, 10 o'clock p.m.
10 o'clock.
We
yep.
found out an hour and a half, 2 hours before. And it's like, well, do we wait until tomorrow morning, or do we? So we had the press conference, just basically to inform the public what was going on and mm-hmm. what the new rules were, and. That night, we had some supervisors drive around and make sure they made contact with a couple of those different establishments, and those establishments, no issues whatsoever. They complied immediately, and they shut down. And that was the biggest thing, is just because now restaurants and bars are not allowed to sit-down service. It's got to be takeout service. And it's my understanding, I think Omaha PD has made a site and Bellevue PD has made a site, but those were both liquor establishments where people were inside and sitting down and enjoying an adult beverage of their choice. So that's, and we haven't had those issues here. We still do get phone calls. You know, we actually had put in place beforehand, because we didn't want to swap our 911 system, we put in a email address. You can email any COVID-19 concerns or any of those, and that's c19@ci.north, spelled out, -Platt, spelled out, .ne.us. And if you've got any issues or concerns, or if you'd like to report what you perceive or believe is a violation of the directed health mandate, please email us, because we monitor it all the time.
Oh, sure.
And then we'll determine the best course of action, or if it's a violation, or we'll stack it for our officers to go out. If we just get, our concern was all of a sudden that we'd get 300 calls.
At the 911 center.
We were talking off air about a lovely couple that had driven down from Canada last week, and they were in town to see the cranes.
Mm-hmm.
But then, now, as we say, they drove from Canada,
and then they
drove around North Platte and called 911 as they passed every park and school that had kids playing it, and told us how they didn't think that was safe. Again, they drove from Canada.
And you know that they didn't make it straight through in the car that whole time.
No, so we appreciate it. And, you know, and if we go out and we have large groups gathered at a park or something like that, we'll go and talk to them and say, hey, listen, guys, you know,
Well, in some, you know, in some situations, you just forget. For example, I dyed Easter eggs at my parents' house last week. There was six of us there, and my brother made a joke. Well, thank goodness Mom and Dad didn't have more kids, or we'd be close to that number. And I thought, that's accurate. And
I'm glad you have a big yard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I thought, six of us, you know, you wouldn't normally think about that while you're dyeing Easter eggs, but we were close to that 10 limit.
Yeah.
And it's just, you forget about it sometimes. You
absolutely
do. And I know you and your officers would just serve a friendly reminder and say, you know, remember, we've got this mandate in place, so, you know, please act appropriately and go about your business, but let's try to keep it within those mandated rules and guidelines.
Absolutely. And then even when you go out to one of our pizza establishments just outside of town, you know, you go in to pick up your pizzas, they've got takeout table 1, 2, and 3, and they're all spread out throughout the establishment, so no one sits next to each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people are doing what they've been asked to do. And, you know, the one, there's still, as negative and as it's easy to get caught up in the fear and the hysteria and all this, I do think there is some positives, because, you
definitely
know, Jer and I, what we do a lot is we go for rides, you know, keep the windows up, and we'll go out and try to find the cranes, or mm-hmm. we'll go out and just drive to Hershey or wherever, or out to the cemetery, out to the Veterans Cemetery, but just kind of to do something. But you see, the people that we see that are out walking, the people that are out on their bikes, the families that are out as a unit, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just kids now. So it's kind of positive, and you see people standing in their driveways talking to people, you know, and you do really do see the social distancing. But
you've never noticed that before, but now you do notice the distance between A and B.
Absolutely. So it's good to see some people out actually taking advantage of some time that they don't normally have, maybe. So there are some positives.
And I know, Chief Hudson, one concern that you expressed at that press conference a week ago was that this man in our 911 center would be flooded with calls. And we have a great 911 center. We were talking about them a moment ago. They do a lot of great work, not just for the city of North Platte, but for surrounding communities. And obviously, want to remind people that it's there for emergencies. And if you need it, definitely use it. But reporting there's 11 kids at the playground equipment right now might not necessarily warrant calling 911.
Well, and that's what we that's why we put that email address out. It's
c19@ci.north-platt.ne.us.
And like I say, we monitor that, and we've gotten a lot of interaction with that, and we can respond and then let you know what we're doing or what's going on with it. So we have seen that, and we have had people communicate with us through that, and that's kind of nice.
For the person that might not have a smartphone or an email, are they allowed to call the non-emergency line and even leave a voicemail if it's after?
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, I
absolutely
saw this.
And the North Platte Police Department is still here to serve our community.
Absolutely.
No matter what happens, whether, you know, tornado, flood, fire, you know, virus, we're a full service police agency. We're professional, and we're responsible for 13.8 square miles of the city of North Platte, and we take that seriously, and we will continue until we have nobody left, and then before the last person out the door will turn off the lights, we'll make an agreement with the state patrol, with the sheriffs, with whoever else, and our community will be safe.
And I know one thing that you mentioned is, you know, you plan for disasters with the 911 center in terms of a tornado or a blizzard, maybe. We never plan on these sort of things happening with a virus and disaster striking with a virus, and that's what's made this so unique and so interesting in a lot of ways.
Well, and we realize that we have so many contingencies for every little thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were in L.A., it was earthquakes and forest fires and brush fires and riots and this and that. But I guess I should have paid more attention to all the Tom Clancy books I read in the 1980s to say, oh, someday I'm going to need this, you know. And then it was Ebola, I think, in all those books.
Yeah, I was going to say Ebola.
We went through that a couple years ago, and it worked out all right. But, there's so many contingencies that, you know, as far as the mind can wander, mm-hmm. is what you actually sit there and then we as administration and a community and city, we have to figure out, okay, what is really worth our time to sit down and spend 18 hours a day for 3 weeks to try to come up with a plan just in case, and then stick it on a shelf. And we have rather robust plans that we have stuck on shelves, and then we get them out once a year to review them to make sure they're up to date. Now there will be a new chapter next year. There's a whole new section of
them.
That's
one positive. We're going to have another chapter to add onto that shelf, I suppose.
Yeah. So and then hopefully, like so many other ones, after this year, we'll put it in that book, and in a year, we'll dust it off, and yep, it's still there, and then just keep on going. So,
Maybe reminisce a little bit, saying, man, that was crazy. Thank God that's behind us.
Yeah, and it's not just the police, and I just give tremendous credit to, our city is still out picking up trash. Our streets departments are still out patching holes in roads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what they ended up doing with the library. I know they were open for drive-through, but I think they kind of, because they were concerned about people turning books back in. I think you can get books, but you can't turn them back in. I'm not sure.
Something like that. Mayor Livingston said you can keep the book a little bit longer. Yeah. I do recall that. Yeah. So, on that one.
No rush on that. But, so the city is still functioning. The fire department is still rolling out to fire.
That's what I was going to say.
They're still transporting people. The police, unfortunately, we're still going out. We're still arresting people. And all those things, the sheriffs are still holding people in the jail. Things aren't ideal right now. The city government, the people that we put in place to do these things, they're still showing up to work. They're still functioning.
Yep.
They're still out there. They're still doing their jobs, which, they're still working on 6th Street on
downtown
the bricks.
Work's still
going.
I
drove by on 4th Street, and someone's out there washing the bricks and stacking them, from down there. So our government is strong. Our city leadership is strong. They're still interviewing. They've been conducting the interviews. They're still doing the things that city government is still functioning. So
I was talking to Mayor Livingston last week about that, having to do it over some Skype and Zoom and different things. And thank God for our technology, or else things would be much more challenging. But
absolutely,
Chief Hudson, I know you were at the courthouse when the county commissioners made the decision to kind of close some county property. You and I were both there observing. Got a chuckle out of Sheriff Kramer when they asked for his report. I think you were still there, and he mentioned that from now on, crime was by appointment only.
Right.
I'm sure that you endorse that too.
Absolutely, by appointment only. You call, we'll deliver.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So both our local sheriff and our local chief of police have agreed that from here on out, due to the virus, crime is by appointment only. So call your favorite local law enforcement agency and schedule your next crime, I suppose.
Schedule an appointment. Yeah, we'll come out. Yeah, the 911 is a way to get a hold of us.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to take a quick commercial break here on our Chat with the Chief, but we're going to talk about some local crime and local social media safety coming up on KODY.
Here's Husker Radio News Director Tristan Winder with a news update.
4 deaths related to COVID-19 were reported to the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services, bringing the state total to 12. The new cases consisted of 2 in Douglas County, one a woman in her 70s and another woman in her 90s, both with underlying health conditions. The 3rd new case was a woman in her 60s from Hall County, and the 4th a man in his 80s from Custer County. And a reminder that all 93 Nebraska counties are now covered by the state-directed health measures until May 11th. State officials are concerned the closure of schools, widespread job losses, and social isolation could be driving an uptick in child abuse cases. Stephanie Beasley, director of Nebraska's Child and Family Services Division, said the coronavirus outbreak is putting a major strain on the families that her agency serves. Ms. Beasley said the pandemic is making it more difficult for children to get social services and for parents to get substance abuse treatment and counseling. A Waverly woman, whose 3-week-old son died when she fell asleep while breastfeeding him after consuming several shots of tequila, was sentenced to 3 years in prison yesterday. Ashley Bean was originally charged with child abuse resulting in death, which carries 20 years to life in prison. But that charge was reduced to knowing and intentional child abuse when the 37-year-old pleaded no contest in February. That's a check of news. I'm Tristan Winder reporting.
AmeriCorps is Americans of all ages and backgrounds dedicating their time and skills to create positive change in their communities. Here in Nebraska, AmeriCorps members serve through mentorship, education, public health, and more. What are the perks? A living allowance, money for college, student loan deferment, training, and job opportunities with leading employers. Find an AmeriCorps program in Nebraska that's right for you at serve.nebraska.gov. Sponsored by Serve Nebraska, aired with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Sunny for today. Highs top out near 61 degrees. Northwest winds become breezy, increasing to 15 to 20 miles per hour. Higher gusts possible. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows drop to 28. Winds north, 5 to 15. Higher gusts remain possible. Thursday, lots more sunshine. Highs make it well into the 50s. Then lows fall back to 27 on Thursday night. Here's your weather forecast for KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM.
Husker Radio Sports.
With a look at your Husker Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Struckman. The Nebraska football season about 5 months away before it kicks off. But we start looking ahead with no other sports going on. 247sports.com ranked the toughest schedules of 2020. And Nebraska came in number 9 overall. They have a number of potential games against top 25 teams set for 5 and a schedule strength ranking of 17 overall. Of course, Nebraska will have road trips to Ohio State, Iowa, and Wisconsin, along with home games against Penn State and Minnesota when they kick off the season coming up in September this fall. Legion Baseball has been waiting in the wings on whether or not they'd play a season. That is still up in the air. However, the 2020 American Legion Regional Tournaments and the World Series have officially been canceled. World Series was set to be held in Shelby, North Carolina, while one of the regionals was set to be held in Hastings again this year. But again, that has been canceled. As for the Legion baseball season, it is still on at this point. Registration is still underway, along with purchase of insurance. Register online at baseball.legion.org. The early deadline is May 15th for registration. The last word we got from the American Legion on the actual season was it was put on hold at this time, but still planning on having it. We'll, of course, pass along information we have once it's decided. That's sports. I'm Tanner Struckman.
Order your prescriptions online at westfieldpharmacy.com or use the convenient Westfield Pharmacy mobile app on your smartphone. Westfield Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy, caring for you and about you.
Back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
It's a special edition of Mugs in the Morning as we have Chief Dan Hudson joining us here with the City of North Platte Police Department. Our monthly chat with the Chief is underway. Chief Hudson, as always, we appreciate the time and have to give a tip of the cap to you and your staff. Appreciate the transparency that you guys really do practice here for the City of North Platte. You guys are out in the public, open, and a great amount of transparency that, as media, I really enjoy and I know my colleagues do as well.
Well, that's good this week. No, we absolutely, you know, the reality is we have a story, and whether it's a positive or a negative, we have to get it out, you mm-hmm. know. And I think I remember sitting in an interview when I was applying for the job. It's like history has shown we get in more trouble by not, you know, it's the cover-up or not being transparent than probably the incident. So we try to get out in front of things. We try to get out any big investigations. When we can talk about them, we talk about them. When we can't, we will. We'll get there, and we're not doing it to hide any information, but, you know, as we've talked before, we talked a little bit off the air, and I don't remember if last chat with the chief we had made an arrest in our homicide or how public we had gone on that at that time. But there are certain things that we can't talk about because they're really important, and only certain people will know certain facts. So, you know, there were things that came to light in the investigative process and still the ongoing investigation of our local murder that happened about a month and a half ago and waiting for some court stuff to go through now, but it's moving forward, and our people have done a truly amazing job. It's to sit in that the investigator and CID side, the detective squad room, and watch this whole thing come together and how fast it came together once we started to get a couple breaks, to sit and watch professionals sitting around in a room saying, well, what about this? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And some of it, you know, not one person said, hey, that's stupid. What are you talking about? Everyone, well, okay, let's, you know, and to see the stuff that was going up on whiteboards and information and the information sharing as we were talking to police departments in Florida, police departments in Colorado, police departments across the state of Nebraska, and how fast and furious that information started coming in. And they did. It's incredible. It was an incredible job. I think I mentioned it in another press conference that, you know, the day of that press conference, 3 weeks prior, we had a female in a body of water a mile from an interstate in a trucking distribution center, which is a half a mile from two major truck stops, with no identification, no scars, no tattoos, anything. And then 3 weeks later, we have our suspect in jail.
And I was extremely impressed that we had that suspect in jail so soon. I mean, you and I have talked about the big movies and the big TV shows, and they solve everything in an hour. And that's Hollywood, folks. They can do that in an hour because it's all fake. It's Hollywood. But for an investigation like that, to have somebody behind bars in 3 weeks, that's not necessarily common by any means.
Yeah, it's easy to write the movie because you know the outcome when you start writing it.
Yeah, you know, and, so. And you can always use the eraser if you want to also.
Yeah, we it was 3 weeks, like I said. It was amazing. It was truly amazing, and I don't know if people, you know, which in some ways is good. People can think that smaller Midwestern communities are a bunch of I hate to use the word hicks, but that we don't know what we're doing, and that the police don't talk to other police and this and that. And it couldn't be further from the truth. But please continue to think that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to come in and victimize our community, or you're going to come in and commit crimes in our community, please think that we're incompetent. You know, and because we're not. And we're going to figure it out. But I'll tell you, as we sat around in that squad room the first couple of days, or even the first when we were out at the distribution center, we're thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be one of those things that's going to go for you, because we just don't know who it is. But it worked out.
The pieces of the puzzle all started to come together, and obviously the puzzle is a big one. I mean, a piece in Colorado, a piece in Dawson County, a piece in Lincoln County, and a piece in North Platte. So for folks that missed that, can you give us the Reader's Digest version of what exactly happened with that poor female victim that was found dead out at the distribution center?
We had a female victim the original call just came out as a possible drowning suspect or victim, and she was in the water, and because of the condition of the body and the when officers in the coroners and the funeral homes remove remains from the, we don't touch anything. We're not going through pockets, we're not moving hair, we're not moving clothing, we're not moving anything. And so at that time it's investigated as a suspicious death. Find the remains anywhere that you don't know exactly what happened, there wasn't a doctor, you know, this and that, we're gonna investigate it as suspicious. So this one, we I think it probably hit the local media at first as a possible drowning victim, and not really understanding what was going on. And then it became very apparent once they were taken for the medical exam, and then they start moving stuff, they start cleaning mud off of stuff, it became very apparent that it was a homicide. And I know when we put it out at first, people were asking, well, how do you know that? Well, trust us.
Science.
Yeah, well, and yeah, science, and once you have a better view, and it became apparent, and unfortunately, Ms. Ermey had been shot multiple times, you know, and but we did not know that at the time. And then some other tales on the autopsy, and then there were just good old-fashioned police work went into play, and they did a great job. And our biggest break, I think, was, and we knew, is if we could get her identified, if we could figure out who she is and where she's from, and once we did that, my goodness, it rolled fast and furious, and the information came in and stuff like that. And I think we identified her a Thursday afternoon. We did a press conference asking for information Thursday morning. I think Thursday afternoon, by Thursday at 4 or 5, we had her identified.
Wow.
And I've got to be careful here because we're still in active. And then Thursday night we were here all the investigators and staff were here very late that night, and the things that were coming in by that time, we had a pretty good thought process of where we were going, and by Friday night, we had a pretty good understanding of what had happened. Then you got to make the case over the next couple weeks,
sure,
and serving search warrants and serving this and that and going and interviewing people to try to find out how do we do this without tipping our hand too far, without the suspect knowing that.
Don't want
to
reveal your ace.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know that there is some parts about this investigation still open, Chief Hudson, so you might not be able to answer this yet, but originally when we had the press conference saying that an arrest had been made, you were looking for a vehicle still. Is that vehicle still being looked for?
No, the vehicle's in custody.
Okay, the vehicle is in custody. Okay.
The vehicle was in custody at that point. What we were looking for is where we found the vehicle, because we believe... Well, we know the suspect got from the Brady rest areas back to Gothenburg. So
okay.
What we're looking for still is anyone with information that may have picked up an individual...
And seen the vehicle.
And driven him
okay.
from the Brady rest areas back to the Gothenburg area. I believe that would have been... I forget the date off that I could say. I think it's the 28th, but I forget. Or we know the vehicle came from Chicago area through Iowa across Nebraska on the early morning hours of, I want to say it's the 28th.
And there's a stop in York, I believe, as well.
There's a stop in York
okay.
that we're aware of. And so we're just looking at anyone that can just kind of, yep, we remember seeing the vehicle, or yep, we mm-hmm. have this and that.
We saw the victim and yep. the suspect. Or
so those are those things that are just, those are just, The nice bow on top of the present to mm-hmm. just to finish answering those
top
those,
it all off.
But you know, like we've talked before, with the Ethan case, isn't that we're putting in with the Army case, we're putting a case together that's got to last. You know, it's not just for the arrest; it's for the prosecution and it's for the appeals process and mm-hmm. the appeal process of the appeals process. These
sure.
cases go for a long, long time, and I mean we've been in contact with the parents and trying to stay in contact with the family. And these are, you know, talking to our investigators last week, these are relationships that they'll have forever, mm-hmm. you know, with the victim's children or the victim's parents. We will have those the parents and family members, they'll have a relationship with the investigators in the North Platte Police Department forever.
A lifetime. Yep.
Yeah, it is. And every year there's going to be an anniversary. There's going to be an anniversary of when this happened, when the arrests were made, when they went to court, when they were this. So those are all anniversaries that will, you know, it's a partnership that we're involved in now, and it's a relationship that will last as long as the family chooses to want to have that relationship.
Now, with this investigation, with this process that we're talking about, was there a lot of interaction between people calling in different tips or saying, I saw this, that, and the other thing? Are you allowed to share any of that information?
No, we won't. We're not going to.
We do know that there was
my investigators, if they're listening at the station, they're going, shut up!
Well, we do know there was some great information that was put out to the public, and we do know that in general, the public does do a great job at responding to things like this.
They do a phenomenal job, and public and outside agencies and other police departments, and there's a whole system and network of law enforcement communications that go out, and it's I probably get 30 of them a day, and it's confidential law enforcement only, you know, but we send out information that we're looking for this information, we're looking for anybody that, and other police departments start picking up the phone and calling, hey, you know what, we had contact with this individual, mm-hmm. or we did this and that, so there's a whole intelligence apparatus, I hate to say apparatus, but there's a whole intelligence side of law enforcement that shares information across the country and through Europe and wherever if we can pick, say, hey, do we want to just go Midwest? There's fusion centers, there's intelligence centers, there's a big one in Kansas City, our state patrol runs one. So there's a lot of information out there, and we sift. You're sifting through a lot of information, and we did get, once we started, you know, we got a lot of calls about, you know, is this person? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people across our country that are missing, and mm-hmm. people that, families that are so desperately looking for closure. And, you know, we get pictures and requests, and we try to make sure that, one thing that we try to make sure is that we answer every one of those, because we want to be able to say, and once we kind of, on that Thursday, we were able to, we're sorry that, but unfortunately this is not, you know,
this is not your loved one or
Miss Smith or whoever, mm-hmm. whatever her name would be.
Well, and I know we've talked before, Chief, but what you think might be a sliver of information or a small piece of information could be a big piece to law enforcement.
Absolutely, because I always talk about we're looking at a puzzle. We're putting pieces of this puzzle together. And you might just have walking down the street and you find that little piece, and it doesn't mean anything to you, but it's the, you know, as we lay out this whole puzzle of this investigation, that could be the piece. And generally it is.
That could be the one missing piece of the puzzle.
And those little missing pieces that people will think are not that important, they're huge.
Sure.
And then those things are what break cases open. And once you get that information, you know, the Ethan case, once we got a little piece of information there, or once we were able to spread the net a little wider, you know, we were amazed that people weren't talking around here, you know, that about that case. Well, it turns out people were talking about it in Grand Island, but they just didn't know about it here, mm-hmm. you know. So once we were able to get a little piece of information to lead us there,
sure,
it was like, oh my goodness, it unfolds fast. And once we were able to identify Ms. Ermey, things unfolded fast.
We're going to have to take our last commercial break here on our chat with the Chief, with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department. Coming back, we'll talk about some social media tips from Chief Hudson here on KODY.
The last 30 years, whenever a calamity happened in America, the drive-by media had a standard storyline. No matter what the circumstances were, women and minorities were said to be the hardest hit. Hurricane, women and minorities, hardest hit. Flood, fire, famine, economic downturn, always the same. Women and minorities, hardest hit. And it became the punchline of a joke I told about the apocalypse. I said a New York Times headline would be, "World to End Tomorrow, Women and Minorities, Hardest Hit." But that's no longer the go-to narrative. It took a pandemic to change the storyline. On Monday, the Amazon Prime Washington Post had this headline: "Undocumented workers among those hit first and worst by the coronavirus shutdown. Illegal aliens in the construction and hospitality sectors have already lost their jobs," says the Post. "Illegal aliens working in agriculture and healthcare are at higher risk of being exposed to COVID-19. They don't have access to paid sick leave, health insurance, and a social safety net, so they are the new hardest hit." Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not making light of anybody suffering, but the tens of thousands hit by this virus have been hit hard. Meanwhile, the entire United States economy has been hardest hit, virtually shut down with no end in sight, but every government worker is still being paid. One-stop shopping is great. You make one stop, you get everything you need. Now, unfortunately, identity thieves also have a one-stop solution, too. That is a tax return. It has all kinds of personal information, like your birth date, your social security number. And during tax season, all of that information may be emailed and shared more than usual, where it could be exposed and used later to commit ID theft. Now, that's why you need LifeLock, the number one most recognized brand in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors for use of your personal information and alerts you to suspicious activity. No one can prevent all identity theft, but if something happens during tax season or later, a dedicated
identity... Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Sunny for today. Highs top out near 61 degrees. Northwest winds become breezy, increasing to 15 to 20 miles per hour. Higher gusts possible. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows drop to 28. Winds north, 5 to 15. Higher gusts remain possible. Thursday, lots more sunshine. Highs make it well into the 50s. Then lows fall back to 27 on Thursday night. Here's your weather forecast for KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM.
And welcome back to our monthly chat with the Chief, with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department. Chief Hudson, yesterday you and Officer Elder, the public informant officer for the city of North Platte, put out a press release on social media and tips to stay safe on social media. We talked about you and your officers, how you police the city of North Platte, and you're here for the citizens of North Platte, and that includes social media presence. We've talked about it a little bit on the air before. I know Investigator Deal does a great job and doing a lot online, and you have some other great officers that do some online work and have a good online presence. But obviously, there's different things that residents of North Platte can do to remain safe on social media and hopefully avoid having to have contact with anybody at the police department.
Absolutely. And kind of what spurred this is just over the last week or so, we've seen a lot of, as people are staying home and the self-quarantine, and you've kind of, anybody that's on Facebook or other social media platforms are seeing, it's kind of modeled as a way to get to know your neighbor, or hey, we're all in this together, what, you know, tell us about your middle name, where you've lived, what street you grew up on, mm-hmm. what this and that. But if, as you look at that, I don't know if you've ever locked yourself out of an account, or, you know, had to contact the bank, or have to contact
more times than I'd like to admit
a card. What are the questions they ask you?
Yeah,
those
they
are
ask
the
those
exact
personal
same
questions,
and because if you ever look at your credit history or your credit report, there'll be things in there, because they'll be like, which of these four streets did you, which one of these four streets have you never lived on?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these cars, what was your first car?
Yep.
What was this and that? Well, or
name your high school graduation year.
Or this and that.
Yeah.
So those are all questions that, while they may look very innocent, it's kind of fun to see where I grew up and what my first car was, this and that. There's such a possibility of that being used for other things, and it will be used to steal our identities.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting it out. We're playing, you know, list four jobs you've had and then one you never had, you know, and then ask people to pick which job I never had. Well, somewhere else that all that information is being harvested, and they're becoming quite a little file on us, and people that are wishing to do ill or financial or whatever, they know what street I grew up on, what was my first car, what was my first pet's name, what was my mother's maiden name, where did I graduate, what college did I go to, where have I worked, you know, all those things. And when they start calling into, they've got a credit card number or they've got an account number, and I locked myself out, and those are the questions they're
going to
ask.
They have the security answers.
And they have the security answers. And when you do it online, you can do, you know, when you think about the phone calls that go out saying that they're the IRS and, you know, we need so much money, or where the your Social Security card's been, people sit there and go, how is that even possible? Who really falls for that? A lot of people fall for it. And traditionally, it's our older community. But you figure if they make 100,000 phone calls a day, and they get 30 people to send them $2,000 a day, or they get 100 people to send, they're making money.
There's some good money that could be made.
And I know last year the feds had a big arrest, and the money that they had made, it was, I don't remember, it was in the hundreds of millions that they had scammed people out of.
Jeez.
It's a lot of money, but you figure there's days when I get four of those calls a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then so if I'm getting four, and then you multiply, what, 326 million or 370 million Americans, and each one of those is getting four of those calls a day, and even a percentage, just 1% responds, or they get the right people. And we all, unfortunately, we have friends whose parents are older now, and I've had those, what do I do? We just found out mom's been given this company this money for the last year, you know, and in fear of this. So it's just, we, you know, keep our personal private information personal and private. That's all we're asking, just so you don't become a victim. And it might not be today, and it might not be tomorrow, but at some point when you start looking at things and going, you know, it's bad enough that every credit card company in the world sends you pre-approval, credit, you know, and then all
constantly.
And then all you do is just basically sign it and send it back, and there you go. So
people
take those and stuff like that, so... I hear the buffer music getting ready to start. So, hey, just one other thing, because I'm not sure if what the next month will be. I don't know if Jim's listening, but Jim Hawks of the City of North Platte,
city administrator.
You know, I think last day is May 1st. We'll see how that plays out. But Jim, you are a true gentleman. You are a true professional. You have been a true friend to the North Platte Police Department, and to me, and to so many others here in this community. So we're going to miss you. Thank goodness. Please don't change your phone number, because you're still going to get phone calls. Hey, what do you think about this? But a man that deserves his retirement, a mm-hmm. man that looks forward to it, and he'll always be involved somehow, some way.
Absolutely.
But a serious tip to Mr. Jim Hawks and your partnership, your mentorship, and your friendship. But, Jim, you're a good man, and God bless, and best of luck to you.
And thanks for the years of service he's given to our wonderful city.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And, we have people out there that quietly go about working in local city municipal governments and state governments that they're not on CNN every night, and they're not flying around
on
private planes.
They're local heroes, though.
But they have a vested interest in our community that is unbelievable. And Mr. Hawks, you, sir, are a hero for what you've done for as long as you've done it. And thank you. And again, don't change your cell phone number.
Now, Chief Hudson, if people want to see your official press release from yesterday about some safety tips on social media and different things, definitely encourage them. Follow you and the North Platte Police Department on Facebook. You guys are extremely active on there with different safety tips and different updates on local crime as they come in and is able to be shared.
Absolutely, and we share everything that we get. We try to share it on Facebook or on social media platforms and stuff like that. So please follow us. And I probably have, in the last month, I haven't been as active on Twitter, and I probably haven't even been as active on my Facebook because we've been busy. But the department, we have a pretty active Facebook page and stuff like that. And if you have questions, contact your local law enforcement agency. Call us and ask us questions. Leave us a message if we don't answer right away, but we'll get back to you. I mean, we serve the public. You are our clientele, and we get caught up in the only people that we tend to serve or we get caught up in is the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the good guys are what makes our organization strong because of the information that we can share, the information that we receive, the relationships that we build, the camaraderie, the transparency, and those things. And our goal at the North Platte Police Department is to continue to build those relationships.
Chief Hudson, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll see you next month, if not sooner.
Take care, sir, and we'll chat.
Dave Ramsey Show's coming up after Fox News on KODY.
Listening to Fox News.